So first, I just wanted to say, Shavuos is coming, Matan Torah. Before we talk about Parshas Bamidbar, the Gemara says, "Bishol Shigdim Yisrael Nasav Lenishma." Before the Yidden, when the Yidden said, they put the word "We will do" before the word "We will listen." Yotzeh Baskoil, their voice came out from heaven, Va'amra, and said, "Mi gilo rozel lebonai." Who revealed this secret to my children? Loshen shemalachi ha'shoreis mishtamshin boy. This is an expression that angels use. It's written in Tehillim. Baruch Hashem alochav. Bless God, His angels. Giboirei koyach means powerful of strength. Oisei devoroi, who do His word. Lishmoya bekoil devoroi, to listen to the sound of His word. First it says they do God's word, and then it says to listen to God's word. So the Ishbitzer asks, how can you call a malach a gibor? We know the Mishnah says, "Ez a gibor hakovish is yitzra." Who is powerful? Who's strong? Somebody who overcomes his desires, is over yitzhara, right? So somebody who struggles all his life with all the different things that, a person's distractions and, all the challenges a person has, and such a person, you could say, is a gibber, he overcomes, right? But a malach? What does a malach do? A malach, he gets told what to do and he does it. How is it that the pusik calls him a gibber, and that the Gemara brings this verse when it's talking about Nasa Venishma, that the Yidden said, "We will do and we will listen," and it says, this Medrash, God says, who revealed this? This is something the angels do. They do and then they listen, because they're powerful. So what does it mean? So it means that angels have an awareness that they don't have existence. They have awareness that their existence it's not real. Only God exists. God's got a job, so for the purpose of that job, they have a temporary, illusory existence to carry out a function. Because we know every malach, the meaning of a malach is that he's got a job, he's got a messenger. He's got a shlichus. He's got some kind of a mission, and that's the purpose of the malach. That's the name of the malach, and that's the mahus. That's the being of the malach. Without that, it's nothing. So the malach is aware that he's nothing. So the Ishbitzer explains with the Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, when Moshe came up to heaven, the angel said, "What's going on here?" So God says, they asked Moshe, "What are you doing?" He says, "I've come to take out the Torah. I've come to pick up the Torah. I'm taking it down." So the angel said to God, "You've got this beautiful chemda genuza, this Torah, which is like so precious, and it's been hidden away from the creation for thousands of years. You know, what do you want to get it? Give it to Bosvet? Don't you give it to the flesh and blood?" So Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe, Gemara says, Hashem Yisbarach said to Moshe, "Chachzeh lehem teshuva." Answer them. Tell them, Alochim. Give them a response. Why you are going to get the Torah and take it down and not them? So Moshe said, "Oma Moshe laKadosh Baruch Hu, misyore onoichi. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to answer the angels. Shema yisrefunu behevel pihem. Maybe they'll burn me. They'll burn me to death with their, with the just the breath from their mouth." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Grant grab hold of the Kisei HaKovit. Grab hold of my throne of glory. And then answer them. So the Ishbitzer says, what was the purpose? How was grabbing hold of the throne of glory somehow going to empower Moshe Rabbeinu to answer the angels their dispute? They were disputing. What was it, their dispute? What was the essence of what they were saying, that somehow Moshe grabbing hold of the throne of glory? So the Ishbitz explains, what does it mean, throne of glory? When the Ribbono Shel Olam, when the Master of the Universe sits on the chair has to be bottle. It has to be null and void. See, if God uses me and I feel proud, or I feel any kind of pride, then God is not going to sit on me. To be a Kisei HaKovod, to be the throne of glory, to be the throne on which God sits, means his batlus. It means nullification of the self. I'm not a person, I'm a chair. I mean, what could be, how can a person, like, really remove their ego from things? You know, if I can imagine, if I really believe that I'm no more, I have no more free will, and I have no more volition and no more choice than a chair to be sat on. If I really believe that, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will use me for sitting on. I'll become the throne of glory. That's the meaning, that the face of Yaakov is carved onto the throne of glory. Because Yaakov was someone who could completely be mevatel himself. He could completely nullify himself. And he could be a tool that God uses in the world. So, when Moshe went up to heaven, and the angel said, "Mali elud ishu beinenu, what is this born of woman doing up here?" And then, "I've come to take the Torah." Ribbono Shel Olam, how could you let the Torah go? This, what was their argument? Their argument is, Ribbono Shel Olam, I know I'm an angel because I know I'm nothing. I know that I exist to do your message, to do the mission, to do the job that you gave me. I don't have any other existence. Because that's the meaning of Gibor, the Ishbitzer says. The meaning of Gibor, the meaning of power, is to know one's complete powerlessness. The angel doesn't think when God gives him a message. The angel just functions, right? Like, there's no awareness in the angel of, "Oh, I just got an instruction, let me go and do it." It's already happening. The instruction happens, the angel is already on the way to do it. So that awareness that I don't exist, I'm an illusion. In my own, I'm deluded into thinking that I'm not even. That is the essence of the angel's power. And they said, "Ribbono Shel Olam, you know that humans can't do that. A human can't get out of his own way to the point where he can see through himself as being agonished. There's always some ego there." And Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, "Nu, answer." And he says, "I can't answer, because they're right. I can't answer. I have no answer. The angels are right. I'm a human being. I can never get past my own ego enough to be like that, to find myself whizzing along, doing what I'm supposed to do, even before I've realized I've had an instruction. I can't. I'm a thinker. I've got flesh and blood. There's a lag time between what I'm told to do and I do, because I've got a process. The truth is that they're right." So the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe, "Grab hold of the Kisei HaKovod and answer." What does it mean? So Ishbitzu says, it's true, I mentioned Ish Kamalach, right? But by the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's more chushev. By the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's more precious the struggle that a human being has to become the Kisei HaKavod, to pretend that I'm nothing but a chair. I'm just a tool to be sat on. And even though I know that if there's the least bit of me, you know, oh, the Rabbeinu Shalom needs me, God needs me for this purpose, as soon as I think that I'm no longer the Kisei HaKavod, I'm no longer useful to God, God's not going to use me to sit on if I'm thinking like that. But nevertheless, God says to Moshe, you can grab hold of the Kisei HaKavod. So maybe you can't be the Kisei, but you can hold on to it. And that's more precious. That's more Gevura. That's more powerful than the actual Malach, because the Malach doesn't have to struggle to reach that stage of his Batlus of turning himself into a chair. And this idea that the ultimate metaphor of the annihilation of the self is, I'm nothing but a chair for God to sit on. That's all. The chair can't take pride in being a good chair. It's a chair. It's like I was made. That's how it is. If a person can be available to God in that way, that without pride, just, oh, Rabbeinu Shem, you got a job for me? Okay, I'm available. Thank you for using me. That, you know, if I can be at that level, then I'm not just a chair. Then I become a throne of glory. Because, as we were saying in the previous weeks, the inyan of birurin, to be clear, is to be transparent. If a yid does a mitzvah, or if a yid does anything, and the person looking at that yid sees God, then that person has become transparent to the mitzvah and to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And then that person is a Kisei HaKavod, because whatever that person is doing spreads awareness in the world that there is a God in the world. And that ties in with this week's Sedra. It begins, Vayidav Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai. God speaks to Moshe in the Midbar Sinai, and he says, Su'u Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael. Count the heads of the congregation of the Jewish people. So there's a pasuk in Hosea. It says, "V'ho yemispa b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'yam," and the number of the Jewish people will be like the sand of the sea, asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer, which can't be estimated, can't be counted. And then the pasuk ends, "V'ho yebamokem asher yomer lehem lo yami atem," and it will be in that very place where they were told, "You're not my people." Yomer lehem, they will be told, "B'nei Kel Chai, you are the children of the living God." So the Ishbitzer asks, it's a stira. In the beginning of the verse it says, and the numbers of the Jewish people will be, and then the end of the phrase is, that cannot be counted. Well, if it's a number, then it can be counted. So, you know, just say, and the Jewish people will be so many they can't be counted. But it says, v'ho yemispar, and the number will be a number that can't be counted. So the Ishbitzer says that there's a difference between the Klal Yisrael, the whole of the Jewish people, and the individual. The whole of the Jewish people represents something that can't be counted. The individual, though, is so precious that he's numbered. So what's the connection between the beginning and the end of the verse? So he says, when God says to Moshe, Su'u es Rosh Kaladas B'nei Yisrael, he doesn't tell him to count. He says su'u. Su'u is an expression of raising. A nosi, a prince, is somebody to whom su'u has happened. So God says to Moshe, you have to let the Yidden know that they are so precious that each one is at the level of the prince, the crown prince. And at the moment when Moshe Rabbeinu counted us At that moment, it was clear to everybody that this person that's being counted is the most important Jew, and without him, the world will fall apart. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's job, and sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu found it hard. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu took Aaron with him when he was counting the Eden. And sometimes even Moshe and Aaron together looking at this person couldn't figure out why this person is the most important in the whole Klal Yisrael. And that was the job of the third person who was there with the count. He was the Nosi, the prince of the tribe. And the job of the prince of the tribe was to be able to show Moshe and Aaron clearly how this Yidel here, standing outside his tent, is the most important Yid, and without him, the whole world will fall apart. So what does it mean when you say without this Yidel, the whole world will fall apart? The Rabbeinu Shalom made the world in such a way that every person has in them the ability to be marbe kvod shamayim, that there's something about the glory of heaven that can only be brought down into this world through you, through me. There's one aspect of God that nobody can know unless I reach my full potential. If I'm missing, then there's some aspect of the glory of God that's missing. That's a hard thing. You know, we live in a world where it's really difficult to internalize the fact that there's some aspect of God which is unique in me, that without me, God is missing something. It's like Kvod Shemayim, the Ishbitz says, Kav Yochel, it's like God made himself vulnerable, that without this one Yidl, there's some aspect of the Rabbeinu Shalom himself that's never going to be developed and projected, and it's never going to evolve and blossom in the world. And that was the job of this counting that happens, and the whole Sefer Bamidbar we call the Book of Numbers, because the whole point is that every Yid has that within him, that Dovah Shebeminyan we know in Halacha. That if you have some apples and one of them is forbidden and you drop them into I don't know if you mix them all together, you know, so apples you buy by the pound, you know, but if it was a Dovah Shebeminyan, if it was something something that you don't buy by number, that's by the pound, something that you buy by number, right? Like a melon, nobody buys a kilo of melons, you know, you buy a thing, a Dovah Shebeminyan. Dovah Shebeminyan in a bottle. So a Yid is a Dovah Shebeminyan. So once Moshe Rabbeinu had counted us, we became at that level that no Yid can become lost, bottle beroiv, that every Yid is a Dovah Shebeminyan, Dovah Choshev, an important thing that can't be just nullified by being swallowed up. Doesn't become nullified even among a million, right? If you lose a horse among a million horses, it doesn't become bottle, because you know that's not how animals and livestock and creatures are. So the Ishbitzer goes on to say like this: what happens if a person becomes so a person gets so down and he's done so many things wrong, Imamish believes he can't fix it anymore? So what does he say? You know, we have in Yehoshua, it says when the Yidden came to do battle with Ai, and so many Yidden died in the battle, hundreds of Yidden, and the Yidden lost all their confidence. You know, they were Moshe Rabbeinu had. Brought them and taken them through all these wars with Oig Melech HaBoshan and Sichon Melech HaMoiri and all these wars that they'd had, and nobody got killed, right? And here they're going into the land, and the first, second battle that they're at, you know, they start to die like flies. And Yehoshua starts to fast and daven a bunch and tell us what's wrong. And he's, and ultimately, God says to him, Yisrael Choto, the Eden have sinned, and they've broken my covenant, and they've stolen, and they've taken from the, you know, they've taken from the spoils that I said they mustn't take, and they've, and they lied, and they find out that one man, Ochon, and his family had taken something from the spoils that they were told was Cherem. But one of the things that Yehoshua says in this, in this posuk is, what's going to happen with your great name, Rabbi Nishalem? You know, so we're a bunch of sinners, so we've ruined everything, but what's going to happen with your great name? And sometimes a person can feel like they're so weighed down with the stuff that they've done that, you know, instead of feeling that the glory of God depends on me, I feel the other way around, right? I feel like, I've done so many mistakes, I've done so many things, like, mamish, don't depend on, I mean, the glory of God's name is never going to be nisrab, it's never going to become great by me, but Rabbi Nishalaylam, matas l'shim chagod, what's going to happen with your great name? Right? So long as a person is thinking to himself, I can fix what I did, I can do tshuva, I can work. So a person can see that connection to God. But when a person reaches that level where they can't even see any way in which they can fix anything that they've done wrong, then what? What happens? So the Yidden in the Midbar, when we were in the wilderness, that generation of Yidden, our job really was b'midbar, in the wilderness. We've been talking in the past that the meaning of wilderness is those elements of the self which are completely ungovernable, like wild, right? So when a person gets up in the morning, goes to Sheol, and sends his children to Cheder, and goes and buys only kosher food, it's, you know, it's one thing. But when a person is without governance and is like in the wilderness, Where's the connection to God? So the connection to God is proven by the Jews of that generation. The Doir HaMidbar, the generation of the wilderness, their job was to show that no matter how far a person is wild, and no matter how wild is that aspect of the self, there's always a connection. And that's why the sins of the generation of the Doir HaMidbar, this generation of the wilderness, were like really wild. You know, there was the Egel, there was the worshipping the gold calf, and other sins which like seemed like so massive, which you know, which congregation today would worship a golden calf and then, you know, next day carry on and be Ayid, you know. So that generation, that was their job, to be the Dor HaMidbar, to be the generation of God in the wilderness, and show how there's a connection between Ayid and God, even in the wilderness, even in the wild places of a person. But what happens when we get beyond that? What happens when a person goes beyond the wild into that place which is like gone, right? V'hoyo b'mokoyim asher ye'omer loy ami atem. And in that place where, God says, in that place where you are told, you're not my people, because there is such a place also, right, where a person can mamish say there's no connection anymore left to God. Then what? And the Ishbitz says, you know, sometimes, every time, a person can reach that place in their life where mamish they feel, oh yeah, I did something that I don't know how I'm good. That can't be fixed. So what goes through a person's heart at that moment? He says that in the deepest place of a person's heart at that moment goes out a cry that says, Rabbeinu Shalom, Matasu L'Shimcha Godol. It's true, I can't fix. It's true, I've ruined everything. But what are you going to do about your great name? Because, as we said earlier, you know, there's an aspect of God that can only be great if the person, if I, if you, if every individual achieves what they're supposed to achieve. So if I'm going to be cut off now from everything Jewish, Rabbi Nishan, what's going to be with your great name? Because Rebbe Shem invested himself in us in such a way that there's, as he said, kaviyochel, there's something about God that doesn't get achieved if the person doesn't get achieved. So the tzaoko, the Ishbitzer says, the cry which is inside the heart, which even if it's given up hope of ever fixing itself, but the cry for the sake of God, matas l'shimcha agoda, what are you going to do about your great name? That in itself starts a whole new process of unveiling the great connection that exists, the indelible connection which exists. And that's the meaning of v'hoi b'mokem ashiyem lechem loy amiyatim, in that very place where you heard that phrase, you're not my people, Yom Elechem B'nei Kel Chai, you'll be told that you are the children of the living God, which means, God, the Ishbitzer says, that there's a connection that happens Sheloi Midas. That aspect of Ayid, which is B'nei El Chai, the children of the living God, is even where you don't know, even where you've gone way past that stage where you don't think you can get back to yourself anymore or you can fix anymore. In that place, God says, Yom Lechem B'nei Kel Chai. Where does that come from? That comes from, God says to Moshe, Su'u es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. God says to Moshe, count the heads of all the Jewish people. Really, that's what he's telling them. That here, Moshe is fixing inside us that not only is Kvod Shemaim dependent on every Yid, but even that place where a person is no longer able to realize themselves in any significantly positive way, nevertheless Rebbe Shem says, I promise that it's going to be good. Why? Because you are B'nei Kel Chai, you are the children of the living God. It's a very interesting idea that It doesn't really matter, you know, who that person Vera is. If a person has lost all his own faith in his own connection to God, that doesn't alter the connection, because Rabbeinu Shalom finds ways shelayudach mimenu nidach, that nothing gets lost. And why is it? It says, the Gemara in Shabbos says, everybody agrees that on Shabbos the Torah was given. Everybody agrees that the Yidden arrived at Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. If that's the case, how could there be an argument whether the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan? If you agree that it was given on Shabbos, and you agree that we arrived at Mount Sinai, Midbar Sinai, on Rosh Chodesh, how could you be arguing whether it's the 6th or the 7th? Because we know it was 3 days later and this happened and then Moshe went up. So the Gemara says that they're arguing about how to fix the month. So one says that it was Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, and the other says that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. So the Ishbitzer says, what's the meaning of that? You know, what does it mean everybody agrees that Shabbos, the Torah was given? Shabbos has its own Kedusha. Shabbos has its own holiness, and it doesn't depend on us. And the Torah is also like that. The Torah is given to us in such a way, we didn't wake up God and say, Rabbi Nishalim, please give it to us. Rabbi Nishalim gave us the Torah because we are holy, Shabbos is holy, the Torah is holy, God is holy, and it came down from above. However, coming to Sinai, that was associated with Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh is associated with us. We make the Chodesh holy. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. So that the Gemara is trying to explain that even though the Torah didn't come to us with our effort, but coming to Sinai, that was something we did with our own effort. And then the Gemara says, yeah, but it was straight after Shabbos. So even our own effort that comes to us as a gift from Shabbos, meaning it comes to us as a gift from above. So in Ishbitz, we always come around to the same thing. The essence of darkness is to think that I'm doing it myself. That I'm doing the mitzvah myself, I'm doing the Torah myself, and this struggle that I'm struggling on my own. And then the end is that if I win the struggle and I do the mitzvah and I keep Shabbos and I daven properly, then I think I've done it myself as a gunish veret. Because if I think I did it myself, then I'm not at that level of nasa v'nishma. Because the angel is the one who knows he didn't do nothing. I found myself doing it because I was given the command. I'm doing it first, and then I realize, oh, you know why I'm doing it? Because God commanded. So if a person does a mitzvah and wins the struggle and thinks that they won because of their own effort, they're still in the illusion. The emes is that every mitzvah that we do is a gift. Every time we win against the Yetzirah, it's mamash a gift from God. And if I realize that, and I can understand that everything that I am is a gift from God, then I've broken through and I'm in the light. And if I'm in the light, I can be the throne of glory because I'm not taking any of it for myself. All I am is a tool and a vessel. And that's really the essence of the Yid, is that if I realize that everything good that I do is mamash a gift from God and it's not really to my credit, then when I do things I become transparent and I do them with the joy. I say, I'm keeping Shabbos, Rabbeinu Shem, because you're giving me the koyach to keep Shabbos and you're helping me not to be mechalel Shabbos. So really all the thanks goes to you. And then the person who sees me keep Shabbos can see God. And then That's the meaning of Nisraba Kvod Shemayim, that the glory matas l'shimcha hagodol. Thank you.